This morning's scripture reading is from Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Abby, for that reading. The passage that Abby read, this is how Matthew ends his gospel account. This is his account of the good news of Jesus Christ. This is how he ends it. Last week on Easter Sunday, a weird Easter, but Easter nonetheless, we read Matthew's account of the empty tomb. And Mary going there on that morning of the first new day of that new week, and they saw the empty tomb, and they got the news that Jesus had been raised from the dead, and then they're given that mission to go and tell the disciples this news that he was raised from the dead and was going ahead of them into Galilee. And while the Marys are running to go tell the disciples, they run right smack into the risen Jesus. And they fall down and worship him. And then he tells them that same message, gives them that same mission to go tell the disciples. Only Jesus now calls them his brothers. Go to Galilee, and there they will see him. And while other gospel writers give a number of different accounts and scenes with that people have and that with their interactions with the risen Jesus, think, for example, of doubting Thomas, or the two that are on the road to Emmaus, or Peter and Jesus around that fire on the beach. Well, Matthew just gives us this one final scene in Galilee, there up on a mountain somewhere. The disciples, they go to where Jesus has directed them. So there they see him. And I love this verse here, verse 17. When they saw him, they worshiped him. And then most English translations say, but some doubted. Now most say that, but not all. There's at least one major English translation, the New American Bible. It's the primary translation that's used by our Catholic sisters and brothers, and it translates that verse this way. When they saw him, they worshiped, but they doubted. Not they worshiped and some doubted, but they doubted. In Matthew's writing, in the Greek that he wrote in, that's what it says. It doesn't say that when they saw him, these people here, this group over here, they were faithful and so they worshiped, and then there were some over here that doubted. It just says that this is who they were, a hesitant and unsure and yet also at the same time worshiping people. Mark Allen Powell, who's a Greek and New Testament scholar, and he has focused a lot of his work on Matthew's gospel, and he once mentioned this particular issue, this particular verse at the end of Matthew's gospel. He mentioned it in one of his books, and he writes about wondering why so many English translators often put the word "some" there instead of "they." And he writes, "I asked a Bible translator that question one time, and I got the following response. Well, the verse wouldn't make sense otherwise, because no one can worship and doubt at the same time." But then Dr. Powell relates his response to this translator. He says that he invited this fellow to visit his church because, he says, we do that all the time. I don't know about you, but I love this vagueness and this tension that Matthew leaves us with. this picture that there up on that mountain in Galilee, there where Jesus had told the disciples to go and they would meet him and see him, even there was this tension, not between different groups of disciples, but this tension that was in all of them. They worshiped and they doubted, or maybe even better, they worshiped, yet they also doubted. They also wavered. They also were unsure. Not some of them were wavering or hesitant or unsure, but they worshiped and they were unsure. Now we might want to say to them, what's wrong with you, right? Jesus had been crucified and he died, and yet you got the message that he had been raised from the dead on that very day, and that he was alive, and you went to where he told you would go, and lo and behold, there he is in the flesh, standing right before you, right there in front of your eyes. What more do you need? Well, yes, but also consider this. Imagine the scene. Imagine the scene that is playing out there at the end of Matthew. It's the 11 disciples gather there. Not the full 12, but just 11. Right? Right there. Even as you're gathering, there is a pointed reminder of what had gone wrong. Betrayed by someone as close as a brother, and you look around, your group is incomplete. Jesus was who he says he is. How and why in the world would that have been allowed to happen? But there it is. Your group is incomplete. And you're there in Galilee. Not in Jerusalem, where you might think you should be if you're going to make a big splash on the world, but off in insignificant Galilee, an incomplete group by itself up on a mountain or hill somewhere. And yet there's Jesus talking about all authority in heaven and on earth, and you're going to go making disciples of all nations and baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching everyone to follow everything that he, Jesus, has commanded. And you're thinking that is a tall order, talking about all nations. But there you are in nowhere Galilee. Talking about baptizing and teaching all the earth. You look around and you are reminded that your group is incomplete and you couldn't even keep one of your own on the right track. It's not hard to imagine these disciples looking around and thinking, wait, is this it? This is what we have to work with? It's not hard to see why there might be some hesitancy and uncertainty there, is it? Now, typically, the lectionary's gospel reading for the second Sunday of Easter has us in John with Doubting Thomas, who I love dearly. But this year, finishing up with Matthew seemed appropriate. Because I don't think it's too much of a stretch these days for us. For us as this particular church, and us as part of the wider universal church to hear and know, right? We hear and know God's call for us to preach and proclaim and embody the love and sacrifice and grace and mercy and provision of God in the risen Jesus Christ, and certainly all the more in these particular circumstances in which we find ourselves in a world that is reeling with sadness, fear and worry and pain and sickness and death and all of that. Could there be a more pressing circumstance in which we need to hear and receive the good news of the risen Jesus Christ, who has conquered sin and death, the promise of new life, the promise of God pouring himself out for the sake of the world to bring hope and healing, and yet also at the same time, because of these very circumstances, we too look around and we know and we hear this call. We respond with our alleluias and then look around at where we are and say, wait, is this it? This is what we have to work with? An empty sanctuary. We ourselves reeling from sorrow and anxiety. Living in the same uncertainty about tomorrow. Some of us wondering how bills are going to get paid. Or grieving losses. Not even able to go check in on loved ones, let alone come together for a worship service. This unsure and uncertain, probably at times wavering and definitely scattered and separated group of people. We look around and it feels so incomplete. And in the face of it all, what we have seems insignificant. We heard the news of the risen Christ last week, but this week, and certainly in the face of the continued news of infections and deaths and unemployment and all of that down to even the little day-to-day things that are always there reminding us that things have gone wrong. It wouldn't be unusual for us to also be asking, wait, this is what we have to work with? This is it? Worshiping but doubting, called but uncertain, incomplete but resurrection proclaiming group of people who can't even gather themselves together right now. I love that this is Matthew's big ending. One, that the story of Jesus, of his life, death, and resurrection is big enough from beginning to end to hold us in all our contradictions. And two, that Jesus' last word here, the words, the once dead but now raised Jesus Christ, Lord and Messiah, friend and King, Savior and brother, into all their contradictions and hopes and fears and faith and uncertainty, Jesus speaks here at the end. He speaks a promise. All authority in heaven and on earth, he says, has been given to me. Not you. So go ahead, worship even when you're uncertain. It's okay. Go even in your doubt. It's okay. Teach and baptize even when circumstances are wavering all around you and in you. It's okay. Immerse whoever you can. Call whoever you can, yourself and others, not into your certainty, but into the love that is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Church, these are difficult times, no doubt. These are uncertain times, no doubt. Circumstances have taken a lot away and made us feel incomplete. And yet, no less than all those years ago, the risen Christ shows up and speaks. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. Worship and proclaim and teach where you can and in the ways you can. Love and serve where and when and how you can. And know that it is enough. Why? Because all authority in heaven and on earth, the final authority, is with me, Jesus says. Not with a virus. Or the stock market. Not the limitations of circumstances or even the uncertainty of your faith. But in me, Jesus says, the one who was dead but is now risen and alive forever. And so remember, when you are uncertain, remember. When you are unsure, remember. When you look around and it seems so incomplete and you start thinking, this is it, This is what we've got to work with. Remember. Actually, the word there isn't the word for remember. It's the word that used to be translated, behold. Behold. Look. See. Take notice, Jesus says. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus' parting words to his incomplete, faithfully trying, but also uncertain and wavering disciples, take notice and see that I am with you always. Way back at the beginning, Matthew is the gospel writer who makes sure we take notice at Christmas time that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. And then now here, all the way at the very end, behold, I am with you always, Jesus says. The first and last word, the beginning and the end and everything in between, family, is that in Jesus Christ, God is with you always. No matter the uncertainty of the times or the uncertainty of our hearts, behold, he is with you. And not even all the things of sin and death and the cross and the grave could stop him. For he is risen. And he says, behold, I am with you always. And so when you find yourself after the alleluias of Easter have begun to fade, and when Sunday gives way to Monday yet again, when it all feels wrong and incomplete, remember, behold, look, see, take notice, the one in whom all authority in heaven and on earth rests, he is with you. And if that is true, that is true, then whether we are gathered together in this sanctuary or scattered about in our homes, whether we are able to come together to do big, grand things in ministry or just able to just about stumble our way to love and serve our neighbor in ways that seem incomplete and insignificant, Jesus is risen, family. In him rests all the authority of heaven and earth. And so behold, he is with you to even the very end of the age. What matters with faith? Family, what really matters when you get right down to it? It's not the strength of your faith. It's the strength of what you have faith in. If you are stuck on a cliff, when that rope comes down to you, it does not matter if you grab it with confidence or if you grab it full of doubt and uncertainty and hesitation. What matters is how strong the rope is. Family, Jesus, the one who conquered sin and death and rose again to new life on the third day, he is with you. He is with us. He is with his church. He is with this world, come what may. And so let all of us, let us in all our uncertainty and all our faith, let us continue in words of praise and in acts of love and service, whatever they may be, no matter how incomplete or insignificant they may seem, let us truly be a resurrection people, trusting not in our faith, but trusting in the one who has conquered sin and death, in whom all authority rests in heaven and on earth, and the one who has said he is with us always, even to the end of the age. Let us go into the world, to our homes, neighborhoods, and communities, in whatever ways we can, big or small, insignificant or not, incomplete or not, let us go as agents of life and love, provision and service for a world that needs such a hope and such a promise. This is the mission that Jesus called his first disciples to. This is the mission he continues to call us to. And he gives us this assurance that it is in him that all authority rests and that he is with us to the end of the age. Brothers and sisters, hear again the good news, the promise, the hope that we have. Jesus Christ, the one who was dead, he is risen. He is risen and he is with you always, even to the end of the age. Alleluia. Alleluia, church. And amen.